Can you hear me? I can't hear you. Morning, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Nice. Yeah, I can hear you right now.
Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Pretty good, too. Thank you. Thank you so much. I know it's been more than a year since I first invited you on the pod.
Yeah, it's been a year.
I know. However, welcome to the pod.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome to the Isaiah Kuya podcast. So first of all, we want to start first by asking, who is Daniela Buscheri?
Okay, that's an interesting question, but my name is Daniela Buscheri. I am Congolese South African. I was born in Congo, grew up in South Africa, moved here in America about 8 years ago. I'm currently doing my PhD at Columbia in chemical engineering, and right. I do renewable energy research. I'm an energy enthusiast, I don't know if that answers that question, but.
I know that sounds pretty amazing, but you did mention chemical engineering. Yes. Why chemical engineering, first of all?
Yeah, so when I was in high school, I really did enjoy chemistry, math, and physics. And the more I learned about different careers, I learned that being an engineer is something I was interested in because I was a problem. I love solving problems, and I heard engineers are problem solvers. So
right.
When I was looking into different type of engineering programs, I realized that chemical engineering was the only one that kind of encompassed all the like sciences that I really liked. And then I also realized that with chemical engineering, you basically get a degree to do whatever you want to do. Like chemical engineers can really do anything. So I was very intrigued by that. So that's why I chose that as a major for undergrad. Right. And then I really enjoyed it. I end up like really enjoying it, really enjoying learning how to take ideas and products that chemists come up with in the lab and right. learn how to scale that up to like products you'd see in your household, from medicine to lotion to makeup to energy, you know, different right. types of energy and whatnot. So right. I really enjoyed it in undergrad. And so that's why I also continued with it for my graduate studies.
Right. So speaking of undergrad, where did you earn your undergraduate degree from?
So I went to the New Jersey Institute of Technology. It's based in, it's like a small engineering school in right. New Jersey.
Okay. Guess what? I did live in Newark, New Jersey too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I went to Essex County College in Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, that's close by. That's down the street.
Yeah. I guess that's how I get to follow you on LinkedIn through our mutual friends and connections.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of, you say you were born in the Congo, right?
Yeah, I'm Congolese.
And then you later moved to South Africa, right?
Yes.
So how old were you when you moved to South Africa?
So I was one year old.
Wow. You were better talking though.
Barely talking, yeah.
That's good. Do you have any memory of your time in South Africa, particularly pertaining to your high school days and your undergraduate study in South Africa as well?
Okay, yeah. So I spent most of my, from primary school to high school in South Africa.
Right.
So I do remember most of it. So my family, we left Congo because of the war in Congo. Right. And so we moved to South Africa as refugees. So growing up in South Africa was very interesting as a refugee. Parents, tried their hardest to, you know, make ends meet and whatnot. But, I went to like pretty like underserved schools in South Africa. The schools I went to, I mean, if people are familiar with South Africa, I went to Thomas Volskut and Witwatersrand High School. Based in Cape Town. So I grew up in Cape Town specifically. The memories in terms of like schooling, I remember just like going to, like I said, underserved schools, meaning schools that didn't really have a lot of resources. I remember in like high school, we didn't even have like a lab, like a physics and chemistry lab. Like we would do stuff on our bench tops and like we'd have to watch videos to like imagine how experiments would like take place without, but because we didn't have the resources to actually like be able to actually have a lab and stuff like that. But other than that, like it was a great experience. I met a lot of amazing teachers who, despite the lack of resources, really just encouraged me to dream big. And to know that the sky's not the limit and to not view my situation or my circumstance as a limiting factor, but to view it as like a stepping stone. So
exactly. So I was born and raised in Liberia, West Africa, and I guess Congo is in East Africa, right?
It's in Central.
Oh, Central Africa.
It's in the heart of Africa.
Right, the middle of Africa. What do you know specifically about Congo? Even though you left when you were better speaking, what do you know about the Congo?
I mean, my parents taught me everything, so I'm very Congolese. Like, you cannot tell me otherwise.
So if someone asks you, will you say you are Congolese rather than South African?
I would say I'm Congolese South African. That's what I say.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Congolese, South African, American too, right?
American, yeah. Right.
So you are a global citizen, basically.
I'm a citizen of the world. That's what I should say.
Absolutely. And I think that's how the world gonna be at some point because it's a one unified body. Daniela, can you tell us about your transition from South Africa to the United States? And how old were you when you moved to the United States and how your transition was like? And can you tell us in terms of your academic integration to American schools, how was that transition like?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I finished high school in South Africa and then we moved here just before I started college. So the transition was very interesting. I think the school system in America and in South Africa is very different.
Different in terms of what?
In terms of how it's structured. So in South Africa, we start school from like January to November. Like that's the school year, right? And in America, the school year is from September to May, right?
The school year is
like just different.
Right.
Yeah. So like, that was a change. In terms of how things are taught here, I remember when I started undergrad at NJIT, my first year, I realized, wow, Americans love homework. Homework is
too many assignments, right?
I know. The first week you had so many homework, so many assignments.
I know.
That was different. I feel like it's something we definitely had homework, but it wasn't like to that extent. A lot of your grade was focused on your exams, you know, like the big things. But here in America, I realized how your homework like accounted for most of, like a lot, not most of your grade, but a good portion of your grade. So you really had to do it.
Right.
So that was one interesting change. I also realized that the South Africa schooling system like was probably better than the American schooling system because in my first year, a lot of the things I was learning, I learned in like high school, ninth grade, eighth grade.
Wow.
So I was just like, oh, like you guys only learning this now? I learned this a long time ago. There were some other like international students from Africa that were in the class and they had a similar experience. They were saying that a lot of the stuff that they were learning their first year, they had already covered in like high school. Some people said they covered it in primary school. So I would say that was one difference. So one thing I definitely did see that was a big difference, it was positive in American schooling system, was the opportunities that you were afforded to explore other things outside of your major. So I started at NJIT, I had the opportunity to travel to Ghana for a medical brigade and go and serve in communities and like volunteer. And that's something that's not so big in like
the system
back home in South Africa.
That's really good. So you grew up in South Africa, right? So apart from the English language, do you speak other languages or language apart from English? You grew up in South Africa. So do you speak any local language in South Africa or just English?
I speak five languages.
You speak five languages?
Yes.
Come on, wow.
Yeah. But I'm losing some of it now, unfortunately. Wow. But yes, in South Africa, I speak Xhosa and Afrikaans.
Wow. You are indeed a global citizen.
And then, because I'm Congolese, I speak
Swahili
is my home language. Swahili is my first language.
Right.
And then I speak Lingala as well. I'm trying to add French as my sixth language.
Man, well, you got to teach me some French or Swahili, though.
I got you a Swahili, but French, I'm also
French. we Africans, I think we need to learn our local languages instead of just English, right?
I agree.
But that's a good one. You are multilingual, right? That's how you say it, right?
Yes.
So, you said you moved here as a refugee, right?
Yes.
So, why didn't you choose to study law instead of chemical engineering?
That's a good
question. Somebody would like to ask why chemical engineering? I mean, it is barely heard of in Africa where we're from for ladies or women to pursue social or academic endeavor. It's a tough major, you know. So why chemical engineering?
Yeah, I mean, I would first want to say, I think, back home, there's a lot of capable and amazing women that can be
engineers.
That's
true.
I just think that there's a societal that deter them from doing that. For me, I wasn't really interested in law. Like, law wasn't really something that, like, was super interesting to me.
So you were an interested in activism as well?
No, I am. Like, I was about to
say. Right.
Exactly. I'm obviously, as a refugee with my story, like, being an activist is almost like inherent because
you have to
face a lot of different things. And like, you want to, you know, share your story. You want to tell people, make people aware of like refugees and the plight of refugees. So activism is, I'm an activist. Activism is definitely a part of what things I like to do, but I can be an activist without being a lawyer. You know,
that's
I can
true.
Be an activist without being a international public relations person. So I think for me, I always encourage people to go for what they're passionate about.
That's true.
And not just what they think they should do based on their circumstances.
Or stereotype, you know.
Or stereotypes, exactly.
Right.
For me, like I said, I really loved math and science, and I knew that I would be a great engineer. So I was like, why not do it? And yeah, it is a male-dominated field. Even here in America, there's not that many, there's not enough women doing becoming engineers. But I encourage any woman listening to this, if you do enjoy your math and your sciences and you are a problem solver, I would encourage you to be an engineer. I think it's a great field.
That's true. That's a really brilliant major. That's a really brilliant thing. That's a really good response from you too. So, Daniela, how do you balance academic life versus your social life?
I believe in balance. Like, I always tell people that, you know, I live a balanced life. I'm a very busy person, but I'm also a very fun person. I would like to think that. So how I try to balance is I always make time for rest. I think rest is very important.
That's true.
I think that if we're not, you know, resting well and rejuvenating, then you won't be able to show up as your full self in your academics. So I love to travel. So I always budget time to travel. So I would, you know, make sure that I at least have one good trip every year. And I think like whenever I come back from that one good trip, I'm always ready to take on the rest of the year. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And then I try to prioritize rest. Like I said, self-care is very important. So spa days, just hanging out with friends, like anything that I think will fill up my cup. I'm a very social person, so I like to be around people.
Right.
So I always make time to like spend time with friends and stuff like that. So I just think it's a matter of time management.
I think it's a matter of
like being like, okay, this is how much work I'm gonna put into like, you know, my academics, and then reward yourself with self-care, reward yourself with like spending time with friends, going out, having fun, but then balance it out by okay, working hard as well. So they say hard, play harder, right? So
right. And they also say work without play may jack a dull boy. Right. So that's a good response also. that's a Liberian proverb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I understand you also into poetry.
Yes. I love to write poetry.
Are you ready to sell a poem or not right now? Should we save
you want me to sell a poem right now? I mean, I can.
We can save that for end of the interview, right? So
we can save that for the end. I could share something at the end.
No problem.
But to answer your question, I do love writing poetry. I view poetry as a lens of ways for me to express myself. And so writing out my thoughts in like metaphors and figurative language really does, it's very soothing for me. So writing and dancing are my two expressive forms of like, you know.
That's true. I be watching your dance videos on YouTube and
I'm
Instagram.
In tears.
Yeah. You are a pretty great dancer too.
I don't know
how you balance academic versus social life. Like, I think you are a well-rounded academic, all right? Because you speak multiple languages, you dance, you write poems. Do you consider yourself a polymath or something?
I consider myself a multifaceted individual.
Wow, that cannot be placed in a box.
I consider myself as a you know, free-spirited person who's always willing to, you know, make the most of life.
That's true. Yeah. What do you love about poetry or writing poems?
I love that poetry is a way for you to really like dig deep and express your emotions and express how you're feeling about something without really saying anything, if that makes sense. Really just like dig deep and like describe an emotion or describe an event with colorful language, with metaphors, with similes, with hyperboles, alliterations, and you can play with words in such a beautiful way that they tell a story. And it can both be like your personal story, but it also can touch others. And I think it offers people a way of like viewing life, viewing a story, viewing an experience. That's what I really enjoy about poetry.
Wow, that's beautiful. Do you have a favorite poet?
When I was a kid, my favorite poet was Helen Keller.
Helen Keller?
Yeah.
Whoa. Was she blind?
Yeah. She's blind and deaf, I think.
Oh, yeah. Helen Keller.
Yeah, I really enjoyed her poetry. First, her as a person with those, you know, impedances of being able to like write and still write so beautifully, I thought was amazing. So I think she inspired me because she had all these hurdles in life that people might see would hinder her from doing something like poetry, but she still did it. And I think I saw myself in her with like all my hindrances, with my refugee story and everything.
That's true. She was actually an amazing poet. Speaking of poetry and literature, do you have a favorite African poet or an African author, or just favorite author or poet? I mean, just a favorite author in general.
You got me there. Yeah, I don't think I have a favorite. I can't think of one right now.
Okay.
I don't think I have a favorite. There's definitely African authors that I really do enjoy.
Right.
But you can put me on the spot there. I'll have to tell you.
like Chinua Achebe.
I really like Chinua Achebe.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm gonna put you onto some African artists too, because
put me on. I feel like I definitely need more.
For real. Speaking of, because I do love literature, right? I love literature, I love history, all right. So do you have like a favorite book or like your go-to book, whether it's a classic book or just a contemporary work of literature that you've read before?
So yes, the books I read are more on the like philosophy, self-help.
Philosophy.
Yeah. So I would say one of my favorite books, oh my God, that's actually a little hard, but one of my favorite books that's coming to mind right now is a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality.
By who?
It's by Pete Scazzaro.
Oh, shoosh. Is he a modern author or something?
Is he a what?
Is he a modern author, like a recent author?
Oh, molding.
A contemporary author?
He might be. I mean, he's been writing some stuff for a while, but
wow.
He might. But he, like the book I read right now is a bestseller. The book I just said right now is a bestseller. Okay.
Yeah,
that book changed my life. Yeah, wow. So I would say people should read the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Yeah, so I read more on the self help philosophy type of books.
Okay,
but. Yeah, so that's one book. It's another book called Boundaries that I really do enjoy. There's a book I'm reading right now called All About Love by Bell Hooks.
Bell Hooks.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a popular lady. Bell Hooks is popular.
Yeah.
So you don't read classic classic authors like Nietzsche, Karl Marx, all those guys, right?
No, but I wouldn't mind trying. I haven't heard of them.
Sure. So. You gotta read Nietzsche though. You're gonna be afraid. You're gonna think he's a devil though. So don't read Nietzsche.
Yeah. What type of book is that?
Will to Power by Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche. He's a German philosopher. He was a German philosopher, but he has some very strong opinions on philosophy and life in general. Right. But let's move on, Daniela. What is your typical day like? Like if you are to describe the day in your life, what is it like?
Okay, a typical day in my life right now as a PhD student looks
right. You're a 10-year PhD, right?
I'm a 3rd-year PhD. Yes.
So we got 2 more years to go or 1 more year to go?
Let's not talk about it.
No problem.
I'm playing. That was a joke. I have between 1 year and 2 years. So, but okay. Max 2 years. In the next 2 years, I'll be done.
That's what's up.
So I wake up in the morning. I usually do my morning devotions, and then I read my emails, respond to some emails. And then I prepare for the day. I figure out what I'm going to do that day. Am I going to go in the lab, run some experiments, or am I going to stay at home and write some things or work from home? So yeah. So if I'm going in the lab, I usually try to go in like around 11 a.m. just because in the mornings I like to just do a lot of the writing stuff. I'll get the writing stuff out of the way. If I go in the lab, then I run my experiments. And then you would leave the lab maybe around 5, 6 p.m. and then go back home, cook dinner or eat dinner, and then either watch a show, read a book, catch up with some friends, and prepare for the next day.
That's beautiful. It's a very, very demanding, but balanced schedule. So, Daniela, activism. Let's talk a little bit about activism. You as a poet, an activist, or PhD candidate, chemical engineering, what is activism to you? What does it mean to you?
That's a really good question. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, especially considering what's been happening on my campus, on Columbia's campus.
Right.
Activism means so much to me. I think activism is a way to show like your opinion on a specific matter and really stand for it and really go the extra mile to raise awareness about why a certain thing is important for you.
That's
true. I've learned something really interesting, that activism can look different to different people in different times and in different capacities. So in the wake of all the protests that were happening on campus, I definitely joined some protests, but there were some times where I was not able to join the protests, either because I did not have capacity, like both mentally and emotionally, because it was just too dangerous for me to be there, if that makes sense.
It made a lot of sense.
Yeah. So it's like I had to evaluate, okay, a person like myself being in this situation, you know, like, what is the best thing for me to do while still being an activist? And just learning that that's okay. That not everybody needs to be on the front lines. Not everybody needs to, like, put their bodies in the front lines, especially since everybody has different type of privileges, different type of, you know, not everybody has a lawyer on call, you know?
Yeah.
So just like learning what does activism mean for you in that moment. One thing I learned from my therapist is activism can also look like self-care. Like self-care is a form of activism because a lot of times activism is a way for you to fight against oppression. And another way for you to fight against oppression for yourself is looking after yourself, you know? Yeah. So yeah, activism has been a topic that's been on my mind for a while now.
That's very beautiful. Daniela, also, do you pay attention to news relating to refugees around the world?
I do. So that's something that I'm very passionate about and something that I would want to do more. So I try to pay attention to the plight of refugees because I think it's very important for people to understand that refugees can be anyone. Like literally, if today, sorry.
You're good.
If today something went wrong in America, anybody could become refugees, you know? And so I try to raise awareness about what refugees are going through. So I used to be a YouTuber once upon a time, but not anymore. But okay. When I used to be a YouTuber, I would have like a refugee day. So refugee day is, I think, June 20th.
Okay. I think it's next month. Yep.
Yeah. So I would host like a refugee day, either like I would go to an event and like broadcast it and be like, oh, today's World Refugee Day. Let's talk to people that's like celebrating it. Or I would make like videos where refugees share their stories and stuff like that. So I try to do as much as I can, but you know, I could definitely do more.
That's good. That's pretty good. What songs do you listen to? Do you listen to Afrobeats, hip hop, or any other genre?
I am definitely an Afrobeats through and through girly.
Okay.
I love my Amapiano.
Amapiano, South Africa. Yo, that's what's up.
I love my Congolese music, my Francophone music.
Whoa. You gotta put me on to some Congolese songs.
I got you. You're missing out. Congolese songs, they're very unique, very like beautiful, amazing.
So how many languages do they speak in Congo? Like local languages?
Congo has a lot of languages. I would say like maybe 200 to 500 languages.
No way.
Yeah. So every tribe has their own language. It's very unique, very specific. But there's only a couple official languages.
Okay.
French is the colonial language.
Right.
And then there's, I think, four other like local languages that are known to be like official. But then there's a lot of, every tribe has their language. So it's over 200 languages easily.
Right. So where I'm from in West Africa, Liberia, we have like 15 to 16 local languages. All right. Well, a pretty small country as compared to the Congo. I learned that Congo is one of the biggest countries in the whole world and Africa too. So yeah. That's pretty amazing. So who's your favorite Afrobeat artist? if you even have one.
Yeah, it's tough. Like I don't like to pick favorites. That's the thing. That's why people ask me the favorite thing. I'm like, ugh.
That's
depends on the song. Depends on the time in my life. Depends. I will say one artist that I've been listening to like for a long time though is Davido, but I wouldn't say he's my favorite. It's just I've listened to him. He's one person that I've listened to for a long time.
Right.
But like there's some songs that is not that good. Some songs is good. Burna Boy is also pretty good, but I only recently started listening to him. Ashake is also pretty good, but I only recently started listening to him. I think there's all of them are really good. Thames. Right, okay, right. Honestly, Thames, I'll put Thames up there.
That's what's up. Thames. She's the queen, right?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
When it comes to Afrobeats, yeah.
Right.
But they're all really good.
That's true. So I have this question, all right? You do not have to answer if you don't want to. But what is your view on the current situation in Gaza?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's kind of putting me on the spot.
No problem. We can pass that question. No problem. All right.
Yeah, let's pass the question.
that's good. So as we draw close to the end of this interview, can you recite a poem of your own or any author?
Let me pull it up. I'll recite my own poem.
No problem. Let's do this.
Yeah, this is a recent poem that I actually recently posted. Okay, so the poem is called "Why Are Your Words Empty?" And for some background, I was just, you know, in a space where I was thinking about how sometimes I and a lot of people, sometimes people just say things that they don't mean, number one, or they don't say much about themselves, or they don't, like, their words just don't have substance. And I started thinking about that. And I started thinking about times in my life where my words didn't have any substance. And then I wrote this poem. Okay. Right. Okay. So why are your words empty? Why are your words empty? Why do I hear you but fail to understand you? Do the sound waves of your words amplify the echoes of your heart? Or do they bounce all the tips of your lips, then dampen, then dissipate, then evaporate? Even air has weight, yet your words are empty. Too simple to hold substance, too vague to matter, too minute to compound, too impersonal to germinate. Why were your words empty? Could your brain and heart not communicate? Or did you actively anticipate the neural network exchange where you actively intercept the pulses, the gushing, the turning, the discomfort, the yearning? Your words were empty, but I noticed when the words with substance arrived, they were decorated with hints of you, complex, colorful, convoluted, but they were too heavy to utter, so you swallowed them. How did they taste? I hope they taste like confusion. I hope your taste buds reject it while your esophagus constricts, ramping the potential energy to speak up. Trust me, it will be good for you. Then you will have the kinetic energy to move with your words, the inertia to go deeper with your sentences, allowing your words to reveal your soul, forcing you to utter more than you do. Let the vowels and consonants of your words interfere constructively. Then your sound waves can truly amplify the depth and the weight of your heart. Let your words fill all your void spaces with confusion denied entry. You can now be fully understood, first by self, then by others. And then you will no longer question, why are your words empty?
That's so beautiful, Daniela. Thank you so much for that beautiful poem, Daniela. And after graduation, I forgot to ask you this question, all right? What are your plans? What are your goals and aspirations after graduation?
Yeah, so right now I'm still figuring that out, but I know that I'm very passionate about energy equity in Africa. So wow. Specifically, I want to work on developing energy systems on the continent so that energy equity can be realized across Africa. Right now, there's billions of people who don't have access to electricity, and I believe electricity is the foundation for development. So my goal right now is to become an energy expert and then be able to then use my knowledge to bring energy equity to the continent.
That's true. We are a bright but dark continent. So
yeah,
that is very beautiful. But do you have any aspiration apart from electricity? Do you have any aspiration to run for office some days or no?
It's a thought, but okay. I'm not sure yet.
Okay,
I would if I were to run for office, I would want to like be like a minister of energy or something like that.
Oh,
but
nothing
like a president or anything like that. No.
That's good. That's beautiful, man. We have to contribute to the continent, man.
Yes.
Daniela, it was actually a pleasure to speak with you on the pod today. I know it's been more than a year, man. Try to get you on the podcast, you'd be so busy and stuff. But it's actually a pleasure to actually talk to you, Daniela, and I wish you success in your academic endeavor and the future.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I had a blast talking
to you. No problem. Thank you so much for taking your busy time to talk to me too. Have a great day, okay?
You as well. Bye.
Bye-bye.